Moncrief on News Talk.
Henry was talking about camper vans because the season is summer, but it's also pre-budget submission season. And among the many organisations vying for funding and attention are the Irish Cancer Society, who warn that Ireland has one of the worst cancer survival rates in Europe. We're joined by the CEO of the Cancer Society, Avril Power. Avril, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Sean.
Why are the rates so poor? The survival rates, I mean.
Survival rates are so poor. I think the main reason is waiting. As any of your listeners who have gone through cancer will know, that people often end up waiting the whole way along the line, from, you know, waiting for appointments sometimes to get your GP to have a lump or another potential cancer symptom checked out, then waiting after your GP refers you to a hospital, you're on a waiting list to get in and get a scan or an appointment with a consultant in the hospital. Then after you're diagnosed, you go to another list to get your treatment, to start your chemotherapy and your radiotherapy. And sadly, in many cases, people are waiting far longer than they should be. And that results in cancers being treated at a much more developed stage than they should be. And, you know, time is everything with cancer. For many cancers, you know, if they're picked up at stage one, they're picked up early, you can have an 80-90% chance of survival. But by stage four, that can drop to 10-20%. So time really matters. Mm. It really matters that people have their cancer picked up as early as possible and that they get their treatment as quickly as possible.
And you're also warning that within the next two decades, the number of cancer diagnoses could double. Why would that be?
Yeah, so Ireland, another shocking stat, Sean, is that Ireland already has the second highest rate of cancer in the EU. And our cancer numbers are expected to double by 2045. Main reason for that is that we're living longer. It's positive that people are less likely now to die of heart conditions and other conditions. But cancer is primarily a disease of older age. So the longer you live, the higher your risk is of getting cancer. So that is one reason. And in the last 10 years alone, the number of over 65s in Ireland has increased by a third. That's just in 10 years. So that's a huge increase. Mm. And the other reason is lifestyle changes, because 4 out of 10 cancers are preventable by things, you know, like not smoking, not vaping, limiting your alcohol intake, eating a balanced diet, being more physically active. You know, many of us, I suppose, are much more sedentary than we would have been, you know, than our parents would have been, not exercising as much, often relying on unhealthy food. We have rising rates of obesity, which is causing cancer and a wide range of other conditions. So I suppose that's why the Irish Cancer Society, we look at that figure and say that, you know, a doubling cancer rates is alarming. But we also feel that it's a prediction. It doesn't have to become a reality, because each of us can reduce our own risk by, you know, being informed and making healthier choices where we can. And our pre-budget submission this week also calls on government to make the healthy choice the easier choice for people by things like investment in active travel infrastructure, so you can walk and or cycle your kids to school or to and from work. You know, reducing the, getting rid of the VAT on sunscreen so it's cheaper for people to protect themselves in the good weather, things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Now, because I would imagine at this time of the year, it's skin cancers that would be of huge concern. Sunbeds. Do you get any sense, Avril, that the government are going to bite that bullet and go, let's just ban them altogether?
Well, we welcome Micheál Martin's comments this week. There was a colleague from one of the Canadian Cancer Societies in Dublin this week at a HSE-organised event talking about the ban on sunbeds in Australia, which has been very successful. Sunbeds are incredibly dangerous. They're incredibly dangerous. They've have been classified as being in the same category from a cancer point of view as asbestos. They're really, really dangerous from a cancer point of view. And I think the challenge, particularly for us as Irish people, is that the majority of us, yourself and myself included, Sean, have pale Irish skin. We've Celtic skin type that is much more prone to skin damage and much more prone to skin cancer. That's the reason we've one of the highest rates of skin cancer in the world, in Ireland. And I think often people don't realise how damaging sunbeds are, that they're far more damaging than even the Mediterranean sun in the middle of the day. It's multiples more damaging of that. three times more damaging to go on a sunbed. We have, government did regulate them previously for children. There was legislation brought in about 10 years ago to ban the use of sunbeds by those aged under 18. We did mystery shopper research that shows that the sunbed operators were not abiding by that. There's new government research into that as well. Kids as young as 10 and 12 being allowed to use sunbeds. Oh. Which is outrageous. So I think attempts to try to regulate, to try to inform, to, you know, there's legislation says that sunbed operators have to ask for ID. They have to make children, they have to make adults that are using them aware of the health risks. It's not working and it's incredibly dangerous.
Yeah. And now, having said all that, it's about 6 in 10 is the cancer survival rate in Ireland. Is there enough in terms of facilities for people in a post-cancer situation, because you've been through an extremely traumatic experience, and many families as well can be financially devastated by that because they have to take time off work and they have to pay for X, Y, and Z. Is there enough there to support those people?
So, look, there's so much more that needs to be done to support people both during and after their cancer journey. I think you mentioned 6 in 10. Look, it's positive. Well, the bad news is that more of us are getting cancer. And in fact, 1 in 2 of us are expected now to get it in our lifetime. The good news is that more people are surviving. So when we first started Daftal Day nearly 40 years ago, only 3 out of 10 people survived. Now 6 in 10 do, which is really, really positive. Now, there are big differences between, say, breast, testicular, prostate cancer, 90% survival. Others like lung, pancreatic, more around 20% survival. So there are big differences. And again, we're working through our research and other work to change that. But surviving isn't enough. We also want to make sure that people have a good quality of life afterwards, that they're not left with, you know, with excessive financial debt that mounted up while they were out of work during treatment and facing increased treatment, medical and other costs, that they have the emotional support that they need. I thought it was really interesting to hear Kate Middleton's comments yesterday, and I thought it was really, you know, she was so vulnerable. I thought that, you know, and that I know will have meant a lot to listeners who are going through cancer, who often feel alone or misunderstood, you know, particularly in that period after treatment, because what cancer patients, cancer survivors tell us all the time is that that can be one of the worst times, because, you know, while it might seem that it should be a time for relief, for celebration, often actually people can feel quite down. There can be a mix of emotions, you know, when you're going through your treatment, and Kate highlighted this, you know, you're surrounded by medical staff, there's a clear plan, you've a team looking after you all the time, and then suddenly all of that stops. And then often what people tell us is the emotional aspect kind of kicks in then, because you've time then to think about what you've gone through, to realise, you know, the impact the treatment has had on your body, you know, the time cancer has taken from you, the moments, you know, the precious moments or family time that you've missed out on. And often people feel then as well that there's, you know, pressure to be positive, that everybody expects you to go back to normal, to be grateful that you've survived, to act like everything's fine, when actually you can feel quite down. And that's why we provide free counselling, free peer support, to help people to ensure that they have a listening ear, and that, you know, that they can process all of that, and helping them with, as you mentioned, say the financial aspects, where pre-budget submission touches on as well, things like parking charges, which there's a postcode lottery in Ireland for parking charges at hospitals. Some hospitals you don't have to pay anything, others you could be paying €15 a day, with, you know, people racking up debts of hundreds of euro very quickly on those, and also on a whole host of other areas. So that's why we were lobbying TDs and senators this week about the need for government to do more to stop people getting cancer. So to try and make sure that prediction around the doubling cancer numbers doesn't become a reality. And then also to invest to ensure that people have the best possible outcomes, that more Irish people are surviving, but also that they have the survivorship supports, you know, to have a good life after cancer and try to get back to normal insofar as they can.
Avril, thanks a million for speaking with us today. That was Avril Power there, CEO of the Irish Cancer Society.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.